It's good to be back. Good to see you guys. Since I'm a guest ministry, we will take an offering. No, I'm joking. I'm always free. I'm free. We're doing business in missions and wars. Keep me in prayer. Some of it's physical. Some of it's spiritual. There's spiritual resistance. I'm not going as just a regular businessman, but as a kingdom person. And principalities and powers, they're over certain realms and regions. And Juarez has a lot of murder, has a lot of death, and there's principalities and powers. But I don't go afraid. I don't go in fear. There's an area in Juarez, I just felt like, man, I want to minister to some cartel people. And one day I heard about this church way out in the boonies, and I drove out there. My friends that have lived there for years, they said, John, do not go there. It is dangerous. That's the cartel. They have homes and this. But there's another voice that says, go. And that's the voice we need to listen to. And sometimes it's the second voice that says, go. And I went, and I connected with the pastor, and it's just young people. And I sent Pastor Allen a video. And it's a small church, Lena, and they minister to young people. And I sent him the video, and Alan just texts back, there's oil on that worship. There's oil on that worship. So I'll go there. And there's a restaurant across the street. And I asked him, I said, is that place any good? And he goes, that's a cartel front. It's just for money laundering. He says, I went across the street one day to order food. The lady literally left, went to another restaurant, got food, and brought it back to him. And there was one time he goes, one of our speakers, they broke into our church and stole our speaker. This is like, they have church Sunday at 4. And to get there is not easy. Like the roads and the streets, it's just like, you know, thank God I have the Tahoe and stuff. And so it's at 4 o'clock at night, and they stole the speaker. And one of the guys in his church, he goes, I have some cartel people here. And when he said that, I knew. I want to minister to cartel people when I went. And I just, you know, to bless them and to strengthen. And he said, one of my guys in the church used to be in the cartel. And so he called, he told the local cartel leader, and he told the pastor. The pastor told me, he goes, they want to meet you. And he goes, no, I don't want to do with the cartel. And he goes, no, we have to go. So out, it's dark, middle of the street, young kid in shorts and shoes. And he goes, here, I'm the police. And he goes, you're doing a good work. He goes, what are you missing? He told, made a phone call, and they brought it back. And it's just like, you know, but they all have destiny in life. See, God's not an American. I know I say that every time. But, and, you know, I just want to backpedal off what Janine said. Sometimes you can listen to a testimony and you can go, Janine has favor. That's awesome for Janine. God is not broke. He's unlimited. Her blessing does not rob from your blessing. And I pray that it encourages instead of going, she has favor. She's awesome. She did this. She did that. No, it's God. And you may be in a situation where you were 6 months ago with Jeannie, not knowing what she wants to do, but God is still good. He's good if you have $1 million or zero. He's good. And he does not rob from one to pay another. His resources are unlimited. His love is never ending. So amen. I want to talk today about turn the page. Turn the page. You know, Jesus, he goes in the synagogue, and I'm just going to read. So he came to Nazareth, Luke 4:16. So the Bible says, so Jesus, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So I want you to picture the scene. They are reading the scribes and the prophecies in the Old Testament, and it's always what was. It was what was, and what is to come. They are under Roman rule, they don't have a nation, and they are waiting for the Messiah. Jesus, the Messiah, shows up, and they do not know who he is. And he's reading something, and he closed the book and gave it back. And all the eyes who were on him with the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. He did not say tomorrow, next week, next year. Now, I love the prophetic. I love the prophetic, and I'm not saying this to brag, but I called Clyde. I've never met the man. I called a local pastor, and I brought him because I love the prophetic. However, it's not just the prophetic of what is. God wants to activate some things this morning. And he said, today, the scripture is fulfilled. And he sat down. Thousands of years, all the scriptures, Jesus says, today, the scripture. So, Lord, I thank you this today. Things will be activated, stirred up, changed. We will turn the page on stories and histories. God, I thank you for the things you prophesied in the future, you things you did in the past. But I thank you for today. You are the God of today. You are changing things today. The kingdom of God is at hand in Jesus' name. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. And I want to talk to you guys. Sometimes when we pray from heaven to earth, we think way up there. And there is a third heaven. And there is where God sits. But also the kingdom of God is here and is at hand. And it's simply right here. And so many times we think it's millions and millions and millions and millions, you know, just so far away. And we pray to God and he's way up there. And we go by our feelings and our past or what we think, what we said. But he's in us. The Spirit is in us. And he comes out of us. And he's also right here. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven. And he says, as you go, preach. He didn't say, pray about preaching, think about preaching, talk about preaching. He just didn't say, read the Old Testament and study. He said, as you go, preaching, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. That means it's activated now. Heal, current. Cleanse the lepers, current. Raise the dead, current, Paul. It's current, it's current. There's things in our life. And I think sometimes as Christians, we can get stuck in always believing and what he did. Now, you got to remember, this book, the Bible was not written in English. It was written, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and some of it in Aramaic. New Testament was written in Greek. We translate the word God, but it's not really what it is. Kirk talked about it last week, because I listened to all your services. Amen? I still connected. I listened to all your services. Did they mention me this week? They're praying for me this week? I'm joking. And I was so happy. We'll take a little time out. I was so happy when I listened to Clyde's service, just as much as the words I was telling Sabat on court, that people were celebrating other people's words. When you have an atmosphere where you're not jealous or envious or I can celebrate your word, or John going to wars is like the epicenter going, every advancement in the kingdom for you is an advancement for me. It's not a competition. That creates room for God to move in more ways. In your church, in your life, when you celebrate other people and can advance other people, and when Janine gets a word about real estate, celebrate it like it's your word. You are in position for great and things instead of saying, she's, amen? So it says God created the heavens and earth. That's the way we translate it. Actually, the word is Elohim. It's singular and plural. Why is it plural? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It was very specific. Jehovah Jireh. And it's actually, there's no J in Hebrew. It's actually Yahweh. We don't really know how to pronounce it fully. So we have the letter, so it's Yahweh Jireh. But people would name things when they would experience God. Listen to me. He's the healer. He was always the healer. What happened? They experienced it. He was always the provider. What happened? They experienced it. And the nations around him would say, the God of Israel did this and this. And you can live your life reading the Old Testament, hearing testimonies of what God did over there, or what he did over there, or what he's doing in Juarez, or what he's doing with the underground church, or he can be the God of the current, the God who heals me, the God who provides for me, the God who restores me. He was always those things. What happened? They experienced it. Jeremiah was always called to be a prophet. But one day God spoke to him and says, from the womb, why I knit you, I called you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah didn't know what happened. There was an intersection. So we can be like all the other nations. God is awesome. God is powerful. God is not his name. That is a title. That is not his name. When Moses said, who shall I say? I am that I am. I'm the all-existent one. And Jesus comes along and uses the word Father. And so all those things. I'm going to give you guys an example of what I'm trying to say. I'm going to call Chris up here. Because Chris, before I do, I want to explain something. Chris knows how to play the guitar. Chris is in the band. He knows how to play the guitar. He's always able to do it. But then when he starts playing, he's expressing. Some people use the word manifest. I'm going to use the word express. God will express himself in healing or express himself in healing or express himself in those. But he's always those things, but he's expressing himself. And so Chris can express the guitar. He can express his gift anytime. It's always there. God's always the healer, always the provider, always is. So we can't say just God's way out there, heaven to earth. Heaven is right here. Heaven is on earth. Heaven is on earth. But God is looking for co-laborers because it's not all up to God. Because God has an enemy and it's our common enemy. And it's not people. It's the kingdom of darkness. There are two kingdoms. Those people in the cartel, they are not my enemy. There's another enemy over them. There's principalities and powers. And so we are not afraid to go in realms. Jesus left a very safe place, heaven, knowing he was going to be abused, rejected by his very creation. So there's no place where we can be fear if God's called you there. Amen? So I'm not bringing anybody to wars that's not called there. I don't see, you guys, I'll be honest with you, I don't see Americans. I used to see Americans. They used to go downtown, get their prescription for drugs. Even though the cartel prints boxes, print their own drugs. I don't see any Americans anymore. That doesn't faze me. I'm not there to meet Americans. I'm not there to make it like the United States. I'm there to demonstrate the kingdom of God. I'm not there as an American. I am there as a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ. And so I heard this story. Let me be example. I want you to, before I read something from the Bible, I want you to picture this. There's a man, I love testimonies. I love testimonies. I love testimonies. I wore the Billy Graham testimony out, the Jewish testimonies, all of these testimonies. And I was listening to this. I love when the Jewish people, I was raised a Sephardic Jew. He goes, I studied it. I moved in it. He goes, my family was kind of like this, but I became enthralled in it. He goes, then I moved to Jerusalem. So I want you to picture this. His whole life, I heard Jesus is a Christian. I don't know where they get that. So he's living in Jerusalem, studying the Old Testament. They told him to stay out of the New Testament. He's working with some people in the military. And one lady just witnessed to him one day. And she just said, you know, read the book of Isaiah. He read the book of Isaiah about the scriptures. And he's like, man, that sounds like Jesus. But, like, you know, the Christians hate us and this and that. So his whole life, he's in the land where Jesus healed people. Walking where Jesus walked. Ministered where Jesus walked. But his whole life he heard Jesus is a Christian. Christians, that's a Christian religion. We're this. But then he went and stole the Bible. Because at the military base, they have some Messianic Jewish people. He didn't mess with them. Because I stole the Bible. And I went home and I read the Bible. I'm like, what's the first thing he didn't talk about this, but I started thinking about this. So your whole testament, your whole life. Jesus is a Christian, this and that. And then the Old Testament. One page. I want you to picture being him and reading this. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Boom, everything changes. That's my people. That's my genealogy. And then, so why is there a genealogy? 14 generations. Friends, it's one page. It's one page, but we do that. We do that. My background, God can't use me. It's one page. You don't know what I did. No one's going to. It's one page. And it's thin. It's a thin veil. See, there was a thick veil where the presence of God is. God ripped that veil. He ripped that veil, and the Holy Spirit was released. But we put up a very thin veil. We think it's thick. We think it's high. We think heaven's way up there, but it's one breath. I wasn't raised a Christian. I'm just going to sit in the back church. Boom, it's one page. The Apostle Paul murdered Christians. He could have sat in the back. If the Apostle Paul lived today, we'd be having, not this church, we'd be lucky. Just sit in the back, be good. You're a murderer. We don't trust you. It's one page. We need, what area of our life do we just need to turn one page? It's just one page. It's just one page. One page. His whole life, he heard it. He's living in Jerusalem. We go to church. We go to conferences, but there's still some pages we need to turn. He walked on the dirt where Jesus walked, on the where Jesus bled, and he saw the sights, but he didn't realize who the Messiah was. And then all of a sudden he reads the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Friends, everything changes with one page. There's pages we need to turn, because if there's an old, there's a new. If you say something's old, that could be old. But if you say that's the old version, there's a new version. If you say that's the old system, there's a new system. If you say, you don't say, oh, this is old. Old covenant, that means there's a new. Old way of living, that means there's a new. Old way of thinking, that means there's a new. Old way of living, that means there's a new. And when God wants to turn the page in our life, there's a new way to walk in. I'm not going to Juarez with just years of my experience in ministry and just prophecies and the thing. I am going to stir a next generation of young people. And it's not, look at my gift. It's God's called you to be a prophet, to be an apostle, to run in politics, to sell real estate. Because God is not broke. His prosperity does not stop at the border. But the thinking does. The thinking does. I talked to a pastor down there. And he goes, John, what do we need? Like, he goes, because I talked about business. He goes, man, I want to stir up some business. And they're so used to, I go, you guys are used to selling things on the street, making a little money. I go, there's internet businesses in some of these kids. He just was like crying. I connect to this pastor. I really do. And he's like, it's a way of thinking, but it's not the way your mom did it, your dad did it. But we have that in America. We still have our own ways of thinking. We still put up our thin veil. We think it's a big veil, but it's one page. You can see through that page. So Chris, if you can come out, I want to demonstrate what I'm trying to explain. We talked about it earlier. Chris has the guitar gift in him, right? In a moment, he's going to express it. And when he does, I believe God wants to touch your life in a ways that it's not you just reading God that healed, God that provided, God that healed the broken. You know, Jesus mentioned the brokenhearted. He mentioned emotional healing long before there was anything, before we tagged emotional healing. Why? Because we're a body, we're a soul, and we're a spirit. And when you got born again, your spirit was perfect, but you still live in a soul. You can. There's prostitutes that get saved, that receive Jesus, and if you don't know him or listening, you can. When you receive Jesus and accept what he did on the cross for payment of your sin, he wipes out your past. But then it says renew your mind. Why? Because your mind isn't renewed in an instant. So you have to be taught how to rethink, how to repent, how to rethink so you can walk in the kingdom of God at hand. Not what it used to be, not what this. So Jesus took, and they say book, it was a scroll. Because this, how many know the Bible just means books, plural. These were letters, these were scrolls, and they were put in a book. So Jesus reads it and says, today, this is fulfilled in your eyes. They didn't read like that. They just read what they said. And so we're stuck here. We're waiting for our Messiah. We're under Roman rule. Jesus comes along and does the kingdom before Rome even changes, before they even became a nation in 1947, before they did all those things to Israel. See, God's promises are yes and amen. And Israel's are an example. The promises of Israel, how can they become a nation? Because God's words are true. And when he gives you a promise, when he gives you a prophetic word, whether it's from a speaker or whether it's reading scripture or whether it's reading those things. I was in Mexico, and I was like, God, and I started thinking about my life. I was like, there's some things I wish I would have done different. Some decisions I would have made. I wish I would have prayed more. I pressed in more. I wish, and not being good works. All the books I read on prayer, I wish I would have prayed and spent time with him. And he spoke to me, and I just started to weep. He goes, John, I built a dam, and the waters are rushing back. So I put a dam for all the things that you thought you missed or passed or this, and I'm rushing it back. Friends, I didn't need a guest speaker to grab a mic to give me a prophetic word. That was straight from him, and we need to recognize he wants to speak into your life in the now. So, Chris, you can go ahead and play whenever you want. He's expressing what was always there. He was expressing what's always there. Yahweh, our provider. He was always a provider. What happens is you're experiencing. You are hearing something that was always. The moment you didn't hear it, you didn't hear it. So we go to church. He's living in Jerusalem. We go to church. We hear about what God used to do. God is awesome. God is great. We praise him. And then Monday morning, we go out, doctor report, bank report, this report, and all of a sudden, everything is history. Jesus comes along and says, I'm not here to give you a history lesson. I'm here to talk about what's today. So Lord, I thank you. There's things today that are activated. God, I thank you for the prophetic. I thank you for Clyde. I thank you for the speakers. But Lord, you're just not the prophet. You are the now God, the God of the now, moving, shaking, changing, pulling things in from the atmosphere.